What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett, and Taylor Swift copied my wedding. It was my idea to invite celebrities. We have got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. The World Cup. Trump may have wrecked America's 250th birthday, the National Mall, and the experience of seeing a person in any red baseball cap at a distance. But the World Cup was a bright spot in a dark summer as fans visiting from all over the world discovered ranch dressing and Waffle House and the powerful air conditioners that help us survive the summer on a diet of ranch dressing and Waffle House. And then last Wednesday, Flo Balogun, the U.S. men's team's top scorer, received a red card in the game against Bosnia after stepping on a defender's ankle. Just as an aside, I love how soccer incentivizes these big dramatic performances from injured players. The tears, the crying out to the heavens, the rending of garments. Try giving birth, fellas, as the women cheer and carry me off on their shoulders. Balogun was suspended for the following game, where the U.S. would face mighty Belgium. FIFA officials told reporters that the suspension could not be appealed. But it turns out that FIFA rules are a lot like the front lines in World War I. They seem immovable when it involves Germans and French. And then America shows up late, guns blazing. On Thursday, Trump called FIFA President Gianni Infantino, which is Italian for giant baby, and asked him to review Balogun's suspension. Trump also threatened to invade Karg Island unless Infantino opened up the Strait of Hormuz, but it was late and Trump is not great after dark anymore. Infantino has spent years sucking up to Trump. FIFA rented office space in Trump Tower, which has sat basically unused. Infantino also awarded Trump the made-up and embarrassing FIFA Peace Prize. And then on Sunday, FIFA made a stunning announcement. Balogun would be allowed to play against Belgium. After all, the first time a red card had been overturned at the World Cup since 1962. The Belgians were furious, though it is hard to tell because it's impossible to look angry while eating a waffle. Think about it. On Monday, Trump said he had nothing to do with the decision, but confirmed he called Infantino.
I understand sports really well, really well. And that wasn't a foul. That wasn't even an infraction. No, these were two great athletes that got tangled up. And this referee, who is a little bit suspect, if you check his past. I don't want to say that because I don't like to create controversy, but very suspect. If you'd like, I'll provide you with the past.
Trump said that like he bumped into the ref on Epstein's Island. The president, who, as he said, understands sports really well, continued.
He didn't do anything wrong, and he's our best player, or one of our best players, a very vital player. And he gave him a red card. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't think it meant much. Then I started hearing that means he can't play in the next game. That's very unfair. That's, you know, it's one thing to penalize somebody for the game. But how do you penalize them for a game that hasn't been played yet? It's very unfair. You can't do that. So, yes, I asked for a review by FIFA.
So that starts with Trump having a problem with this specific issuance of the red card. Then Trump seems to have a problem with the existence of the red card generally. By the end, Trump questions the abstract concept of punishment itself. How do you penalize someone for a game that hasn't been played yet? You can't punish people in the past. That's not how time works. That's how time cop works. But it's not how time works. Look, the red card was unfair. So, in this instance, Trump used his corrupt influence for good. But does that make it okay? Yes. I'm sorry, but you want Belgium to have an advantage beyond the protected estuary that has allowed Antwerp to become a global shipping hub? And sure, Trump's intervention has totally obliterated the international goodwill we generated during our time hosting the World Cup. But that's not on us. Oh, visitors came to our shores, lulled into a sense of belonging by America's grandeur and sense of possibility, only to be shocked by our sociopathic ambition and competitiveness just beneath the surface. That's our whole thing. The land of opportunity, where no dream or hospital bill is too big. Welcome to America, bitches. Anyway, we lost to Belgium 4-1. Fuck. The official account for the Belgian team posted a picture of their victory over the caption, "Overturn this." In a lighthearted response, the U.S. military has destroyed the city of Brussels. Here's the Belgian team celebrating their victory with a not-so-subtle dig at Trump. Got him. Trump hasn't been this embarrassed in a locker room since that time he accidentally hit on a Miss Teen USA's mom. Thought she was one of the contestants. In less sporting news, Maine's hugely important Senate race was upended yet again, this time by a credible allegation that the Democratic Party's nominee, oyster farmer and scandal aficionado Graham Plattner, committed sexual assault in 2021. A former partner of Plattner and a Democrat who actually had hoped to avoid going public told Politico that he forced her to have sex with him despite her repeated objections, a claim backed up by emails with her therapist and messages warning an acquaintance about Plattner back in 2023. Plattner denied the allegations.
I wanted to directly address the troubling, serious, and false allegations against me.
Man, Bill Clinton really was one of a kind, wasn't he? He made you feel like you were the only person in the room he was lying to. Plattner weathered scandals around his Reddit posts and the Nazi tattoo he got while serving in the military. Polls showed that voters preferred Plattner to Maine's governor, 78-year-old Janet Mills, who suspended her campaign rather than lose her last race. And twist, it turns out this was the one 78-year-old politician who should have hung on to the bitter fucking end. In January, Plattner was asked directly on CNN if there would be any more scandals.
Are there other skeletons from your past that still may emerge in this race?
No. My life is not very complicated, and there is not anything else coming.
Huh. Skeletons. No skeletons, said Plattner, seen here in his backyard. For those listening, it's a photo of Ray Fiennes in 28 years later, colon, the Bone Temple. Safe to say, Plattner wasn't honest in that interview. He also wasn't honest about the tattoo when he claimed on Pod Save America to have only recently learned what it meant. He wasn't honest when he reassured Senate Democrats in June that there wouldn't be credible allegations of assault. And it's hard to believe he's being honest now when the allegations suggest Plattner may have been too drunk to even remember what he had done. So while Plattner has not yet officially dropped out, his statement suggests he will.
Regardless of the inaccuracy of the reporting, but mindful of the political reality it will inflict, we are taking the time to reflect on the best path forward for the state that I love, the people that I love, the movement I belong to, and the goal of defeating Susan Collins.
What a disaster. Covered up that Nazi tattoo for nothing. There will be people online who will say they were right about Graham Plattner all along, and to them I say congratulations, your medals are in the mail. The problem is, if Graham Plattner was always unacceptable, the alternative was seen as even less acceptable by actual voters. Maine had to choose between a scandal-plagued candidate who challenged the establishment versus a boring and uninspired candidate who represented the establishment. And that should be a false choice. This is America. We don't even accept having to choose between Pizza Hut and Taco Bell, despite our doctor's tearful warnings. Every prominent Democrat has called on Plattner to withdraw from the race, and as long as he drops out by Monday, July 13th, he can be replaced on the ballot. But who will replace him and how will that person be chosen? Nobody knows. Among the names are Janet Mills, who seemed barely interested in running in the first place, Maine public health official Nirav Shah, and state senator and logger Troy Jackson, both of whom lost their runs for governor, and Secretary of State Shana Bellows, who previously lost to Collins in 2014 by 37 points. But you know what they say in Maine? A loser is just a winner who hasn't won yet. They don't say that. They say, give me that lobster, and oh, we don't have many of you around here, and is that Stephen King? Oh no, that's a lobster. We don't have many of you around here. That's about Jews, if that did that come across. Until then, as I've said from the very beginning, Janet Mills is 78, but a young 78. Let's go, Janet! And finally, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce tied the knot at an intimate 1,000-person wedding inside New York's Madison Square Garden. It ended with a judgment in Swift's favor, and Kelce was TKO'd in the third round. All right, we have got a great show for you tonight. Alana Eubach and Dana Gould are here. And we'll be right back.
K Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Simply Safe. It's summertime and a lot of us are packing up for long weekend getaways and vacations. But leaving your home unattended can bring a lot of unwanted anxiety. That's why you need Simply Safe to secure your home. With Simply Safe, there are no long-term contracts or cancellation fees. Simply Safe earns your business by keeping you safe, not by trapping you in a contract. It's fast and easy to set up on your own. No drilling required, no waiting around for a technician. The app-guided installation walks you through the process so you can get your system armed in less than an hour. And best of all, Simply Safe is actually affordable. Monitoring plans start at just around $1 a day. I set up a Simply Safe, really easy to do. Can customize it to your home, really easy to set up. And then the app is really great. The customer support, always there, always friendly, always reliable. And it gives you peace of mind. Don't miss out on this extended 4th of July deal just for Love It or Leave It listeners. Right now, you can get a massive 70% off your new system at simplysafe.com/loveit. That's an incredible 70% off your home security at simplysafe.com/loveit. Hurry, because there's no safe like Simply Safe. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Zazzle. You know that feeling when you're 3 days out from someone's birthday and you don't know what to get them? And then you end up with something generic that you're not even sure they're going to like? That's where Zazzle comes in to save the day. Zazzle is a custom marketplace where you can take basically any product, a mug, a tote bag, a card, a phone case, and make it personal to you or someone you love. Browse millions of designs or start from scratch and build something completely on your own. Either way, you're the designer. Everything is made to order, so you never have to worry about an item being out of stock. Pick it, customize it, done. Over 30 million customers have trusted Zazzle with their most important gifts. Yours is next. Zazzle is also a great place if you have like a friend whose birthday is coming up. You can make them a silly t-shirt, put their face on it, you know, maybe something silly they said, you know, like you can't get spaghetti here. You know, that'll be an inside joke between you and your friend, you know, and then you put it on a shirt and everybody's laughing. Everybody's having a great time. Right now, save 25% on your first order at Zazzle.com. That's 25% savings on your first order at Zazzle.com. Go make something zamazing at Zazzle.com. Zamazing. Zazzle.com. We're back. If you are in the LA area, you can still get tickets at crooked.com/events to check out our new studio and upcoming guests, including the hilarious Langston Kerman and Margaret Cho. Plus, the first Gen Z member of Congress, Maxwell Frost, is here. And next week, we'll be joined by the great David Wayne and Joe Latruglio and other special guests. All right. My guests tonight have been in everything you've ever seen, and they were phenomenal. Put your hands together for Alana Eubach and Dana Gould.
Hi. This, oh.
We know, you have the mis... Un, hi.
Hi.
You have the misfortune.
What is it?
We know each other quite well.
I like it. Well, because first of all, you're in TED together.
We are in TED together, and we live in the same neighborhood.
You live in real
we live
life?
In the same neighborhood.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I have had to take several medications because of this one.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, I wonder what kind of medications that would be. Alana and Dana, you both have IMDb pages longer than Taylor Swift's wedding guest list. But unlike Taylor's wedding, I'm here. And to kick off, so we're going to kick it off with a classic Love It or Leave It game. It's called Was I In This?
That's exciting.
Here's how it works. Alana and Dana will take turns asking you, our beautiful studio audience, about specific roles from their long and storied TV and film work. Raise your hand if you'd like to try your luck answering a question. Here's your cards, Alana and Dana. Here are your cards.
Thank you.
Okay, why don't, Alana, why don't you kick us off? And pull up, what was your name, sir?
I'm Robert.
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 Alana, you want to ask him the question?
Yes, fella. True or false, I portrayed a closeted lesbian in 1995's The Brady Bunch movie. True.
Well,
that's...
Oh, shit! I'm so sorry!
Would you have known?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, no, you did great. You did great. No, stay.
True.
Please, stay. Stay.
I'm not going to mess up the next
time. No, you did great. It's funny that it happened.
I was given the cue cards beforehand. Okay.
There's another question on this one for the next person.
True or false?
No, wait. Yeah, we do the next one. Do that one.
Don't take this the wrong way, Alana, but your very existence is an offense against nature.
Wait, I want to talk about the Brady Bunch movie.
Okay.
So you were Marsha's closeted friend. That was, I feel like there's a lot of gay kids that was like a seminal experience. I really do. That was a big deal that you played a gay character on that in that movie in 1995.
And I was madly in love with Christine Taylor,
yeah,
who was married to Ben Stiller. And you had that Ben Stiller vibe, good looking,
wow,
very intellectual.
That's so nice.
Yes. No, it's a compliment, I tell you.
I accept it as such.
I was supposed to be in love with him in Meet the Fockers as well. I had his baby.
Wow.
So I got both of them. A little polyamorous action there. And I got paid for it.
Do you think that today Marcia would be bi?
Would Marcia be bi?
And just lead you on, but in a bi way? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean,
she's oblivious in the film. It works because she's from another era and you're a lesbian, which is modern in 1995 or whatever. But Marcia couldn't know because she was a creature from another time.
She really was.
But today she'd just be kind of lead you on, but in a bi way.
100%. And Jan would be a they.
Oh,
yeah,
they
them
would
definitely
go, for sure.
Be
that would be, you know what? That's what she's been searching for. That's what they've been searching for. Wait, oh, yeah, do you want to do the next one and then we'll go to.
Yes. Would anyone like to guess
someone
something else?
Someone else, raise your hand.
And I'll give you the answer, I promise.
This is going great. Here, let's go to Betsy in the front row.
True or false? I played Paulette Bonafanti in Legally Blonde and Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde.
False.
Woo! All
you got
right.
It. You got it.
And you won.
That was Jennifer Coolidge's character. You were the friend Serena Maguire. That was from a time when it was a big deal for a woman to be a lawyer.
Yes.
Back in the mid-2000s, like a woman lawyer with blonde hair and a lawyer. Yeah. With blonde hair, a woman lawyer.
You too can go.
Wow. And she kept surprising them by being good at it.
Right?
That's the twist in Legally Blonde is she's good at it.
She's a smart blonde. She's good at it.
It's funny. It's what? But she's good at it. Dana, why don't you do a question? What's your name?
My name is Mirath. Nice to meet you both.
Mirath, Dana, ask a question.
Hi, Mira.
Hi.
True or false? I played Paul Reiser's childhood friend, Frankie, in an episode of Mad About You, a sitcom in the 90s, when to turn the channel on your television set, you had to walk across the room and turn a knob with your hand like a monkey in a lab test trying to win a raisin.
Yeah, that was clearly before my time.
Yes.
I'm going to go with true.
Mira, that is false. You looked me in the eyes and lied. But I did play Fragile Frankie Merman in an episode of the television series Seinfeld.
So you dug a hole in that episode.
I did.
And then you wrote a Simpsons episode also about digging a hole.
I did.
So you're a big hole guy.
And it gets worse. And then I created a show called Stand Against Evil, and my character was a gravedigger. And none of those things were intentional, but as you step back and you look, and there's something going on.
There's something about you and getting into just digging.
Something
digging in dirt in the earth. Get him in the earth.
Can't wait to die. And yet I don't want to be buried. I've told my children when I die, I want my remains scattered along Mulholland Drive.
Huh.
But I don't want to be cremated.
So,
just
bits.
Chunks. Just chunks.
Fingers.
I want a coyote walking down the street with a hand in its mouth. Been dead 2 weeks and I'm still on the neighborhood watch.
And do you care if it's north of the road or south of the road? Do you mind if it's in
I
the valley?
I want it to be north of the road.
Technically,
I want
valley
the valley.
Facing.
I want valley facing.
Technically, you'll be in the you'll have been disposed of in the valley.
I'm 818 for life.
Okay. All right. It's hotter.
I love the valley. I prefer the valley. I really do.
Speaking of, all righty. Who's next?
Hey, my name is Paul.
Paul?
Yes.
True or false? I performed the role of Judge Jeanine Pirro in 2019's Bombshell.
True.
Woo!
So,
all right, Paul.
So talk about getting into character to play Judge Jeanine.
It was all about the eyelashes.
That was eyelashes, and then the character comes alive.
That was all it took. In a little box, uh-huh. We opened them, and then we pulled them out, put a little glue on the eyelids at 4 o'clock in the morning, then put them back on. And I was her. That was it. That's all it took.
Wow.
Yeah, it was something else. Huh. No, I just watched a lot of YouTube and that was it.
Big a glass of wine at 11 a.m.? Get into character a little bit?
Seven glasses.
Seven glasses.
A couple boxes of wine.
A couple boxes.
Just a couple of boxes.
Hey, did you ever talk to her? Did she ever reach out to you after?
No, she never did. I wonder why.
Wait, Dan, you were Wilford Brimley's in your episode of Seinfeld.
Yes, and I played him on the Ben Stiller show, which we filmed a block and a half up the street. So it all comes full circle. I played Wilford Brimley on the Ben Stiller show in parodies of oatmeal commercials, as funny today as they were then. And then. And Wilford was famously a little bananas.
Hmm.
And then when I met him on Seinfeld, I was afraid that he might murder me because my impression of him wasn't what one would call respectful in any way. But he just stuck a bare paw out and went, Will Brimley. And then I... Because he was one of those, like you read about, he was 26 when he made Cocoon. Like,
yes.
He was just always
yes.
old and frightening.
Yes, the ages of people in the films that I grew up watching where they were the old characters are now, like even the Golden Girls is the same way. Wolf, the cast of Cocoon was so young.
The Traveling Wilburys were in their late 20s.
Yes, when they became a super group.
Yes.
It's like, oh, look at these decrepit crooners. It's like, those people are... teenagers.
Yeah, fuck.
Wilford Brimley, it's fucked up.
It's so true.
Do you think it's that we look better because we drink more water? Sometimes I think it's that.
Something clearly happened because I am far beyond where I can... I am now older than the age I used to put in scripts for people that were old. Now I have to like update it. She's an old woman. 107. Like I have to just keep moving it farther away from my age.
Yeah, I don't think it's the water. I think it's the Botox. I think it's the Restylane. I think it's the Juvederm. And
Juvederm.
I think it is
should I get
Dr.
that?
Klein on Bedford Drive. And I think it's those fellas.
Oh, man's a miracle worker. I put a little Juvederm in my coffee in the morning, and I find that that helps. I don't think you're supposed to drink it, but I don't think it hurts.
That's why you look like you're seven.
Yeah, I look like I'm seven from the Juvederm I drink in my coffee.
Yeah.
You want to do one more? Alana, do one more question.
That was one of the many QAnon conspiracies. give Mira a shot.
At the same time, true or false?
That's good. That's perfect.
You guys ready?
Good idea. Thank you for hosting. All right, you're doing great.
I'm out of control. True or false? I lent my voice to many prostitute bystanders in Grand Theft Auto 5. I gotcha. Huh? You saw me going, wow, that's weird. You know, it's like, true. I won.
What's that? What are those days like when you're going in to record the various conversation trees as a prostitute in Grand Theft Auto 5?
Well, I'll tell you, Johnny. I was asked at the last minute. I think I was taking someone's place. Someone was sick. And so I walked in, and for $223, I played all of the female characters in Grand Theft Auto.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
It's a good thing not
you better run.
Not a lot of people bought it because they owed more money.
I know. It's. I was like, residuals. Keep the money. What's money? Math. Math is boring.
Tough business.
Ooh, honey.
A lot to think about. Was it a whole day? It must have been a lot of things.
In and out in 30 minutes.
Wow.
In and out in 30 minutes. 30
minutes.
Well, it was just like, look out! You know, stuff like that. You better run!
Oddly, the motto of many prostitutes.
I'm on to you, man! Oh my God! He's after me!
Huh.
Those are the auditions that I always used to have to go on when I was, thought I would be an actor. As I was, okay, Dan, anytime. Jag, don't. Thank you.
That's hard. Yeah. That's hard to do just a little bit.
It's actually incredibly difficult. Yeah. I'd rather say a lot.
Wait, Dan, do one more. Do this one about Chip.
Oh, true or false? By the way, the audience is looking at me like the jury in a trial I'm losing. True or false? I played Chip, a wealthy member of the Wentworth family, visited by Roseanne. In season 9 of ABC's Roseanne.
True.
You got it.
True.
You got it. Season 9 of Roseanne. Is that after they won the lotto?
I was after they won the lotto. And I was also in the last season of Seinfeld. I was like the Grim Reaper of every sitcom in the 90s. I would show up and they're like, all right, Dana's wrapped. Break down the set.
Sell Let's a give wardrobe. Them one. Like when they let me pitch on the last game of Little League, even though I was terrible.
Yeah.
That's your role in these shows.
Yeah, exactly. I would literally come in with a scythe and a cloak.
Now,
I'm here to play the neighbor.
I have a theory, which is that Roseanne has become Rosie O'Donnell's Wario. What do you think about that? What was Roseanne like? Well, at the end of that show.
Well, here's a funny, she had sort of taken the reins of the show and chased John Goodman and several other actors off of the premises. And at one point we were sitting there and I was acting with Dina Merrill, who's a giant movie star. And we're just sitting there and the director goes, you know, it would be good. And Roseanne goes, you're talking to me. And the rule was that the director was not allowed to talk to Roseanne. So he had to go through an intermediary.
Sounds like a healthy environment.
The wheels had come off. The wheels had come off.
Yeah. I also just think creatively, it was a mistake for that family to win the lottery.
Yeah.
Because that was the whole thing. It's like, what are we doing?
So charming and endearing. And
right. It's a little bit like, again, like the last season of Mad Men. They'd be like, no more ads.
Yeah.
Wait.
No more affairs.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it clean.
It'd be like, what if the Beverly Hillbillies were poor? Then it would be sad.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah, dumb Sherlock Holmes. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, you got to give the thing, do the thing, the thing they came
for. Does anyone know who murdered this man? I'm stumped. I can't figure it out.
Oh, guys, I think we got the wrong guy. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Tommy John. This summer, don't be that guy. You know the one. The one who's sweating through his clothes and dealing with things sticking where they absolutely shouldn't.
Gross.
Meet Air Underwear, your heatwave-approved upgrade for all-day comfort. Air Underwear is perfect under light summer fabrics. No visible lines guaranteed. Tommy John's lightest underwear yet. Designed with micro-perforations for max airflow all summer long so you can stay cool, dry, and significantly less swamp-like from the very first layer. No algae there. You know, whether it's a full day at the office or a long commute or just getting through the peak summer heat, Air is built to keep your base layer breathable, lightweight, and barely there. So you're not dealing with trapped heat, sweat buildup, or the uncomfortable too warm all day feeling. Incredibly light, incredibly durable, the lightest underwear you'll ever wear. Tommy John Air is great. It's a summer essential. I love Tommy John. I'm wearing Tommy John right now. I wear their second skin underwear all the time. It's my favorite thing. I had a bunch of different kinds from Tommy John. And finally, it's like, you know what? This is my favorite one. So I just bought a bunch of the second skin type. And I love it. I wear it. It's my favorite. It's so comfortable. I wouldn't ever wear anything else. It's the best. So go to TommyJohn.com today and save 25% on your first order with code LOVEIT. Comfort perfected. Just use code LOVEIT at checkout and upgrade your essentials today.
Quick question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero handholding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
How did the Addams family relate to the Munsters?
They were both on at the same time.
That's insane.
1964. Yeah, no, it was crazy.
That's crazy. Like, remember there was Armageddon and Deep Impact at the same time? Deep Impact was the sophisticated Armageddon. About like, no, not how they did it with the drills. And we have a better way of doing it.
Big and 18 again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big and 18 again.
People and have mediocre ideas at the same time.
And vice versa. Remember vice versa?
Wait, no.
With Judd Reinhold, right? What?
I thought you were way younger than me.
Oh.
You're a little spring chicken, no?
It's got that Juvederm. Look at
I got that Juvederm.
You drink that Juvederm. You are you 107?
I'm 43 years old.
He's older than Irene Ryan was at the end of Beverly Hillbillies. She was in her early 30s. She was in her early 30s on that show.
All right, we're back. This is part of the show now.
She also played Gidget during the summer.
So, and we'll get you back to your care center as soon as we can. By the way, you're doing a great job as part of this effort to kind of get you out into the world. Yeah.
I had Jell-O today.
Oh, my God.
My dad's 95.
Your dad's 95.
Still going. Yeah,
wow.
Still going. Can't get close enough with a steak and a mallet. No, it's alarming. It is.
No, it's alarming for sure. Steak and a mallet. Trying to understand.
Oh, it's like he's a vampire.
I'm so stupid.
No.
I thought he was
eating. You're dumb, Sherlock Holmes.
I thought he was eating a steak.
No. He probably is right now.
A stake and a mallet. You know what? You know what it is. I don't think they. You don't need the mallet. They never have a mallet. You brought a mallet into it as if that's the classic way of saying it. You know, what's the guy? What's the guy? Van Helsing.
Van Helsing.
He has no fucking mallet.
Yeah, he does.
Just
he's
a steak.
He's got a mallet.
He has a mallet?
A mallet, yeah.
I thought you just jam it in there.
No, what do you, worry it in? Slowly worry it in?
It's probably a rubber mallet.
Yes.
The vampire wakes up. She's hard part's over. Mallet. Hard part's over.
Worry it
You're
in.
You're watching John Love It or Leave It.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. Oh, shut up. Shut up, Dracula. I'm killing you. You're right. There's a mallet. Well, of course there's a mallet.
Of course there's a mallet.
And then dumb Sherlock Holmes comes in. Maybe we could shame him to death. No.
Alana.
Yes.
Hey, what was it like the first day to act with that little bear?
Oh, well.
On Ted.
He is not a bear.
Oh.
Set. No, he's just like two eyeballs on a metal stick.
Yeah, because I assume Seth MacFarlane is too rich to be hiding behind the couch during the takes.
No, well, he's hiding behind the bushes.
Oh, he's in there.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's in there. They have him in this little booth. And they basically, first season, they had him, you know, they had all of these wires connected to him to pick up all of his emoting and you know, expressions and everything. And he read with us off camera for every single scene.
Wow.
And we were looking at, you know, two little eyeballs on a metal stick the entire time, but we had to because of CGI. And then in a matter of a year when we did second season, he no longer needed any of those wires because technology had already advanced.
So you could just film them.
Like
we don't even need the dots anymore. We don't even need those fucking dots.
Wild.
Eat shit, those little dots.
That's amazing.
Do you have to talk to this bear?
I didn't have to talk to the bear.
You didn't get to talk to the bear?
But I did write some of the bear's dialogue.
Oh, you wrote the bear? Yeah, because and you also played a priest on the show.
I did. I played Alana's priest.
He put the dildo on the bear.
Huh.
He wrote the dildo. He wrote that episode
you wrote the
with
dildo.
The dildo on the bear.
Yeah. No, it is true. I wrote the episode I wrote. You start out writing a funny pastiche of The Graduate. And then you find yourself Googling what size is the average dildo?
Yeah, they look bigger though. I mean, they look bigger.
You know, Seth always likes to say, you know, I just wanted to do a musical, you know, musical comedy. I just wanted to do, you know, musical theater. And before I know it, I'm on set and they're just showing me different sizes of dildos. And I'm like, yeah, that'll work. That'll work on the bear.
It's the kind of thing where you don't think you're going to have an opinion. Then you see two dildos and suddenly you got an opinion. You're going to have an opinion. It's like interior decorating in a sense. You're like, I didn't know I cared about this, but now I have an opinion.
They're not anatomical at all anymore.
Oh.
No, they're just like weird lime green twisty shapes and bright orange curly cues. Sex toys now look like replacement limbs for an all-Muppet veterans hospital.
Now, Dana, you've been interviewing people dressed up as Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes. And I'm going to just say that sentence again. Dana... You've been interviewing people dressed up as Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes. I would like to show everyone a clip.
Like, I imagine the inventor of Pringles opening up a bag of potato chips going, Like, he feels like a bag of potato chips the way you hear, like, Werner Herzog describing birds. Like, oh, it's hideous. It's nothing but screaming.
I can't handle it.
Dan, did you ever worry that you're too niche?
Yeah. Not obscure enough.
I was so glad you were coming on the show because this started coming across my feed. And I just, as is the case these days, you'll see something and it's like, how long has this been going on? Why is this not more well? How is this a secret?
Yeah, it's genius.
It's what?
It's genius.
What, this is so insane. I feel like either this must either have just begun or the world should be talking about this. How are you getting dressed up as Dr. Zaius and having a talk show? Why isn't anyone stopping this? How did it happen?
The whole thing is something of a horrible miracle.
So how did this start? What, when?
The very truncated version of the story is I wrote a sketch for the Ben Stiller Show a block and a half up the street in 1992. Dr. Zayas is doing Mark Twain tonight. I thought it'd be really funny. And we got canceled before I got a chance to do it. And 18 short years later, I did it on a John Hodgman show at Sketchfest in San Francisco. Because by then I met a makeup. I have a lot of friends in that business because I'm working horror movies. I love horror
movies. Do you pay them every single time they go?
Every goddamn time.
That's expensive. Little hobby.
I did it there. That got on YouTube. You can see it. Dr. Zayas is Mark Twain. It'll come up. It's very funny. And then someone said, hey, could you do this political benefit? I did something as I hosted as Dr. Zayas. And then, hey, could you go down to Atlanta? And they want to interview you for the Fathom events when they show Planet of the Apes in theaters. And I did it. And it just became a weird side hustle. And then during COVID, my friend Rob Cohen, who was, I worked with on Stiller, said, why don't we do a talk show like Space Ghost, because it was COVID and we were bored. And I thought, here's what's good about it. It's going to cost a fortune to do, but it will put us at risk of being sued by Disney.
I actually did want to ask you about the rights.
Yeah, good question, John.
So,
no, we have a gentleman's agreement that if I don't make too much money, they're not going to kick up a fuss. And I told them, no worries.
So, a recent study out of East China Normal University in Shanghai found that mask wearing increased what the researchers described as malevolent creativity by heightening anonymity with no effect on moral sensitivity. The study defines malevolent creativity as intentional use of novel ideas to disrupt social order or undermine cultural values. Is that the goal?
It's not the goal, but it's a delicious side effect. But it really is. I will say, like, you know, I can act, but I'm not an actor. But I do actually, when you're in that much makeup and you're in the costume, you think differently. My wife says, like, you're gone when you do that. You walk differently. You sit differently.
It's called in the zone.
In the zone, yeah. I will come up with stuff because of his personality. His personality is basically Sammy Davis Jr. He's just like, he knows everybody in the business. He loves everybody in the business. Yeah. It's not Between Two Ferns. It's obsequiousness to a ridiculous degree, and which is much more my personality. And but I will say things that I don't think I would think of. Or I was interviewing Weird Al Yankovic, and I just went like, Al, and I think I speak for everyone here in the audience when I ask, what do you do? And like, I would never have said that.
But there's something, it's funny.
He can say that.
Yeah, Jiminy Glick has that a little bit too. There's like a freeing thing.
Much more profitable than what I do.
What if over time you start to realize that you write better or think better as Dr. Z, and you're like, you know what, if I'm going to really write this script, I got to get into the car. And then more and more of your days are spent in the costume until one day there is no Dana Gould.
That's an indie. That's A24.
There's only Dr. Z.
I would green light that in a hot minute.
That's a movie.
Not going to happen. But the idea of there is no Dana Gould will eventually be true.
Alana. Do you ever wake up on a day when you have to act and go, ugh, acting, I hate this. What a mistake I made.
Oh, gosh. No. I had a lobotomy. And I just love it. I still do. It's very weird. No, I'm a dog with a ball. I have this dog, Stewie. He passed away not too long ago, and not to depress anyone, but it's a beautiful story. He loved his red ball. And even at the very end, like the day he died, he just loved the ball. And I love the ball. I'm that kind of a weirdo. I'm a freak. Yeah, isn't that weird?
It's cool though.
Oh, it's I'm Santa Claus. I'm the Santa Claus at the mall.
You do the thing you love. You do the thing you love.
Yeah, I love it.
And I will say because I was, she played the mom on the show. Ted Scott Grimes played the father, and I was in the writer's room, and we would finish these scripts, and we thought they were pretty goddamn funny, John. Mm-hmm. All these people have to do is read it, and it's gold. And what you see on the show is so much funnier than what left the room. You know, they really are. All that cast is so great, and they're really brilliant.
Yeah, it was a good time.
She's terrific.
That was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorkin used to say when we were working on The Newsroom that his ideal director would just take his scripts and put them on a music stand and then have a white glove just turn the pages for the audience at home to just read. That was his ideal version of one of his films being directed. Yeah.
He dated Pauline Poroshkova.
Interesting.
I remember that for like a hot minute. Do you know anything about it? Do you have his phone number? Let's call him. Let's ask what she was like horizontally.
He never gave me his number. Alana, you're in Lucky, which is premiering on July 15th on Apple TV Plus. The plus is for the TV shows.
Yes, yes.
That's what the plus is.
Yes.
It's for the shows.
Yes, Anya is phenomenal in it. She's a con artist, and she cons myself. And I get to pull a gun out on her. And there's this wonderful... rattlesnake in my episode named Mr. Whiskers, I think his name is, and he's been in the business for a long time. He was born without a rattle, apparently. And so they have his little rattle costume hung up for him in his trailer, and then they put it on. No joke. And I was in a scene with him, and I think it was the same rattle from Euphoria. Mr. Whiskers.
Check out Dr. Z on YouTube on hanginwithdrz.com, and you can catch Alana in Lucky premiering on July 15th on Apple TV Plus. The plus stands for TV shows. And Dana's new special, Perfectly Normal, on 800 Pound Gorilla's YouTube channel as well.
That's right.
We will be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Willie's Remedy. I love Willie's Remedy. It's my favorite. It's a great thing to do at the end of a day. You know, yesterday I did two episodes of Love It or Leave It right back to back. And I got home, I was a little wired from the show. I was like, you know what? I'm having a little Willie's, you know? And it was great, relaxing, the best. Huge fan. It's a THC-infused social tonic crafted by the legendary Willie Nelson. It's low calorie, low sugar alcohol alternative that actually works, delivering a fast acting euphoric social buzz without the regrets that come with alcohol. Willie's social tonics come in 5 mg and 10 mg doses with a best in class flavor experience so smooth and balanced you'll barely realize you're drinking a THC product at all. You can enjoy the tonics as a shot, sipped over ice, or mixed into your favorite mocktail. Willie's not that feared edible you ate too much of in college. Each bottle of Willie's is third party lab tested for accurate dosage so you can trust and customize your experience. Willie's unique blend of THC, CBD, CBG, and L-theanine deliver a feeling of calm, clarity, euphoria, and relaxation. One shot of Willie's helps you relax, unwind, and de-stress. Perfect for taking the edge off at the end of a long day. Willie's ships directly to your door in 40 states and has sold out 3 times in the first 6 months with over 300,000 plus happy customers. So order now at drinkwillies.com and use code Lowly for 20% off your first order. Free shipping on orders over $95 and live like a legend. That's code LOLI at drinkwillies.com.
Quick question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero handholding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
And we're back. Pop culture. Yes. Boy, we love it. But sometimes, can you know what it's real? People. Time for a game we're calling The People Have Spoken. Here's how it works. Alana and Dana, I'm going to read you an insane headline. You will tell us. Is this a real, honest-to-God people headline that a human being wrote up, or a fake one that our human beings wrote up?
Alrighty.
Are you ready?
Yes.
First up, singer G Flip gets thigh tattooed with meaningful ink by off-campus cast in sweet behind-the-scenes video.
Yes, it's true.
You got it. Did you know any of that?
It was just too specific.
Didn't sound like my G Flip.
G Flip. G Flip.
G Flip. How do you say hello to Flip Wilson?
Come on.
G Flip.
You're in Karnak now, man. What the fuck are you doing?
I'm up here for me.
I'm not here for you. You know he's doing Karnak? You clods. I'm insulting them for you.
The Cotton Tops know.
Yeah. Astronaut opens up about what it's like to be on Ozempic in space exclusive.
False.
Got it. Yeah. That's fake. We made it up. We made
really?
It up. We made it
the,
up.
The, yeah, the astronauts. Space they don't interview astronauts.
I'm just going to say this with no experience, but I'm going to guess that zero G is not where you want diarrhea.
Next headline. Sarah Bareilles told Anderson Cooper she wouldn't give him writing credits after he inspired a song, quote, "You have enough money."
True.
I hope it's true.
Yeah, it is. She said that.
Really?
Yeah. No credits from Sarah Bareilles.
Snow-haired news maven.
With his t-shirts.
Yeah.
John Cena debuts bald look in preparation for second hair transplant. I went all in.
That is true. False. I saw that.
It was true.
Yeah.
There he is. Yeah. And there's a sweetness to him. He looks, you know,
I
he
like
looks nice
bald.
Like that.
I think
he looks nice
hot.
Like that. He looks good.
It.
Yeah.
I have a theory about bald men. Let me tell you
Here
something.
It comes.
There's a lot of testosterone going on when you lose your hair. You know what I'm saying, ladies. Right? Woo! They fell asleep again.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Anyway.
Well, you can do that. You get because you got. Well, you have to have the head for it.
You have to have the head for it.
Patrick Stewart, the Ed Harris.
Yeah, they have just, that.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
something.
Bald guys turn me on.
Good ridge lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like me.
No. Yeah. I would look. It would be bad.
Yeah. It would be bad.
Yeah. I just think there's no way around it. Some people. It wouldn't work. Mm. It wouldn't work.
I look for one of those marshmallow. Remember those foam marshmallow peanuts?
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah.
Going on.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah, but not facing the way you think.
Thank God for my Rowan-hued thatch.
Yeah. Not every day, but more than you think. Mary Steenburgen on her marriage to Ted Danson, new pictures.
True. Very
I'm
boring.
I'm gonna say it's true, and I was gonna say it was true, but it's not about what you think.
Yeah, right. It's just about it's about baking.
Yeah.
Did she really say that? JoJo Siwa clarifies comments on Israel.
Woo! True. Okay. True, baby.
No,
we made it up. Oh, let's do two more. Dua Lipa's terrifying health scare. A psychic told me I had Lyme disease.
I hope that's true.
Please make we it made be it true.
Up. Riley Green admits he thought his ex-girlfriends would text him when he won People's Sexiest Country Star. They didn't.
True.
Yeah. It was real.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad right. for him.
That see, and by the way, that's the problem
like
with country
Riley,
music.
His
that's
brain.
The sexiest
Who
country
is this
star.
Kid? He is
Ned
hot.
Flanders.
Woo!
You could try to mock that. That's a hot guy.
No, that's
that, that is a beautiful man.
That's from his new album, Oakley Dokley.
He can Oakley my Dokley all night long.
The Oakley Dokley
Rich
Boys.
Well, you're boys. Jealous. The boys are jealous.
Oh, my God. Oakley Dokley.
No, I don't understand the mustache.
I do.
The single stash.
I do.
No, I know a lot of people do it. I don't get it.
I just have never. I've never been able to.
I get
to,
it all I, night long.
It's working.
Well, it
for
is a. Por- it's a. You look like a porn star. You know, with
I know. I mean, he does look cool.
Or a
I
fireman.
Think certain people can pull it off, play. And certain people can really pull it off, and I think he's pulling it off.
Beautiful. Blue
I don't
eyes.
Think I would pull it off. I think I would look
like a baby
strange.
In disguise.
It's a thick mustache. Look at that.
Like a sick baby in disguise. Yeah, yeah. Like a babe. Like a.
You look
a medically
like a,
in,
yeah.
in
toddler trying to sneak into an R-rated movie. Well. Now that the markets have closed, I guess I'll go see Transformers.
That's fantastic. Yeah, he's gorgeous.
I don't get it.
You've won the game.
All right.
Now
you've won the game, he spat.
With daggers in my eyes. We're having fun, right?
Yes!
I've had a great time tonight.
Yes, show me more naked guys on your TV screen over there.
But the question is, did everyone else? Because it's time for a segment we call Second Thoughts.
Uh-oh.
Here's how it works. I have a comprehensive list of all the things that the producers of this show wish I had done differently. And I'm going to run through them with you. Because I think we're gonna learn
Let's
and grow.
Sure.
And if you have any second thoughts about tonight, this is your opportunity.
Let's do it, babe.
First up. I shouldn't give the Pentagon ideas about destroying the city of Brussels. Also, I should have said Bruges. Bruges?
Bruges.
Is the city Bruges in Bruges?
Bruges.
Bruges, just
yes.
Bruges.
Yes.
Maybe that's a funnier word. I tried my Maine accent.
What is, do you do a Maine accent?
We did it because we had the joke for it. I didn't. Right. Unlike you, we wrote the joke and then saw if I could do it.
Right. Well, no, I'm from Massachusetts and I can't do a Maine accent.
Well, I think it's sort of like, what if Katharine Hepburn didn't shake as much, you know? And you
right.
kind of, you know what I mean? You just
right.
you do Katharine Hepburn,
do
but you
Catherine.
Don't. You just kind of leave it up here.
Yes.
You don't let it vibrate.
Do you know the old shake.
You just kind of do like this. It's because once it starts shaking, then you're in the Katharine Hepburn thing.
You know the old joke about Katharine Hepburn going into the adult novelty store and she goes, "Do you have those little eggs that people put inside their vaginas that vibrate?" And they go, "Yes, we do. How do you turn them off?" Yeah, it's a great joke.
It's a great joke. And that's a great joke.
That's a great joke. Katharine Hepburn.
Katharine Hepburn, a legend.
Another timely reference.
It probably wasn't. It was a mistake for me to say to the audience, that was about Jews. I called Dana a big hole guy. I shouldn't have said how old I am. Let's see. I argued about the logistics of killing a vampire and was wrong.
I'm not having this argument again.
I brought up a study from East China Normal University. I failed to explain any context of the dildo on Ted. Didn't even ask a question or a follow-up. You know?
Always better in theory than practice.
Yeah.
100%.
Better to be talked about than seen.
Mm. I thought you meant dildos are better in theory than practice.
I did.
Oh.
I did mean that.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. It's fantastic. You have to watch that episode. Which episode? It's the first one, isn't it? Or the second?
I believe it is the, I don't know.
Second. Yeah.
It's a funny one.
No, type in dildo teddy bear.
Yeah.
Don't type in dildo teddy bear.
Don't.
Hey, do yourselves a favor. Don't. You can try something else.
Dildo teddy bear.
Find it.
Yeah. Dildo. You're going to get an AI Elvis film that you don't want to watch.
You type dildo teddy bear into your search bar, then it's just...
Yeah.
There's a knock on the door.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's sad that if you type dildo teddy bear into your search bar... Something's gonna come up, you know?
Yeah.
I often wonder if, like, well, during COVID, I watched all of the porn.
All of the porn.
All of it. I finally clicked on the last link and it was just a skeleton in a miner's hat. That's it! You're all done! Holding up a lantern in a mine. There's nothing left!
Well, how much of that time were you gay, you think?
A good 33%. It's always 35%.
It's always 35%.
It's always 35%.
It's Kinsey scale.
But I just could not keep myself dedicated to the necessary physical fitness.
What is your favorite porn?
It's been years. That's a weird thing, in all honesty.
I like Behind the Green
Door.
In all
honesty.
Naughty Marietta?
But when I watch porn.
Sex Boat?
All those women are now like... old, nice old ladies now. Huh. You know, it's like they're
possibly,
all,
yeah.
But they still have spirit.
Yeah.
It possibly, this is where I'm going to end the show.
Yes.
that is where we're at. And we could,
you know who the first porn I saw was Lucy, you know, the one they found in Africa?
Yeah. You mean like Australopithecus?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first one.
It was,
that
was Clan of the Sex Cave Bear, and it was a spinoff.
Oh, a spinoff,
all right.
And that's our show. Thank you so much to Lana Eubach and Dana Gould. There are 117 days until the midterm elections, and we will be back in your feeds on Friday. Have a great night.
You don't have to air everyone.
Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Kiefer, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero handholding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.